The Defense Department is turning to industry to take over the management of its portfolio of mobile IT services. Officials say the rapid growth in the number of DOD-issued mobile devices has made the current government-managed approach unsustainable. We get more now from Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu.
Despite a somewhat slow start in the first 3 years since the Defense Information Systems Agency started offering mobility as an enterprise service, the past year has seen a major uptick in the number of defense employees using government-issued Apple and Android devices. The program's unclassified component had 7,000 users a year ago. It now has 40,000. At the secret level, there were 500 phones in circulation a month ago. There are now 1,500. There's even a lone unnamed senior official using a top-secret level device during a pilot phase. But to handle everything from mobile app management to cybersecurity and billing, DISA has had to cobble together and manage 18 separate contracts with industry, an approach that can't go on much longer, says Kimberly Rice, the agency's mobility program manager.
So we're looking at the environment today where we've got this mess of things. I can't sustain it. I cannot continue to manage that many contracts, that many different vendors coming in. And we went out to industry and we said, okay, what's the next best step? Industry responded and said, you need to be going to a services model. So that's basically where we're headed to.
DISA expects to issue a request for proposals sometime this summer, in which it will ask a single vendor to serve as the single services manager for DOD's mobility program. The agency first issued a request for information, seeking feedback on the idea last fall.
As much information as we get in from both the users and industry, that's rolling right back into the PWS as we're finalizing and getting that ready, okay? But the core concept is, again, not only get the government out of the middle of doing things we don't do well, like integration, but also looking at some of the other things that we haven't been doing at all that we're now being mandated to do.
Those things include, for example, requirements from the Office of Management and Budget that all agencies consolidate their contracts with wireless carriers down to one contract per phone company by 2018, and that they perform detailed tracking and management of their wireless expenses.
Everyone within the department is supposed to be reporting, just starting simple, how many devices, how many minutes, how much data are you using? Okay, we're going to take it one step further because that's one of the other areas that we have a lot of management issues with in terms of where is the device. Okay, so we spend an inordinate amount of time tracking on spreadsheets. Who's got a device? Who's supposed to have it through the order? Where is it supposed to go next? We need to automate all of that. And this is a service that right now across the department is not available on a regular basis, and we need to get into the methods of, okay, if a carrier can do this, DOD should be able to do automated reporting and understand who's using the device, where was it last used, how many minutes, all that good stuff, okay? So that's going to be a major push within the single service manager. Again, a lot of the focus is going to be on not only the improvement of the capability and expanding so we can actually offer more of the capabilities that we should be from mobility, but it's also going to be focusing on how do we start getting some efficiencies and some economies.
DISA also wants to use the single services manager contract to improve the support it delivers to end users of mobile devices, including by beefing up local command's ability to provide help desk services as their numbers of mobile users continues to grow, and as DOD expands beyond a single smartphone in its classified mobile portfolio into several different devices for its senior users, including tablets.
We're going to have to figure out what that looks like, but we know that we can do a better job, especially in the VIP area. So how do we do tracking and monitoring? But how do we also do the reporting and making sure that the local sites and the local user have the type of permissions and accounting that they need without meaning that they have to have their own system to touch. So that's a lot of controls that we need to build in, and that requirement set is going to be fairly interesting as we go through this.
Economies of scale are important for the program because although DOD doesn't plan to order the military services to use DISA's service for their mobile devices and data plans, the agency is hoping and expecting that they'll do so, and do so at scale, taking DOD past the era when only a relative few senior users were allowed to access the network via their BlackBerries.
So we used to start out where a mobile device would be in a senior's hand, at the president's level, at the general officer's level. We're really talking about deploying the enterprise service now for every worker within the department and their ability to be able to do that work wherever they happen to be, and it's no longer a device that's given to someone based on their seniority. It's a way of life and a way of culture. Most of the young people that we have coming into our office, the fact that we don't issue them a mobile device, you know, and not only do we not issue them a mobile device, but when we do give them a mobile device and tell them, hey, by the way, congratulations, you can use this for texting, email, and maybe one or two apps, you know, they turn around and look at me like I'm crazy. you know, what else am I going to be able to do with this phone? Well, nothing. You're going to have to come back to the office. So, you know, our entire way of thinking has to change.
Eventually, DISA wants its mobility program to let users access unclassified, secret, and top secret data from a single device. Rice estimates that goal is still about 5 years away. In the meantime, DoD needs to sort out challenges like two-factor authentication and other security issues. For the short term, the department is using a system of derived credentials that borrow from the common access cards and public key infrastructure DoD's been using for laptops and desktops for more than a decade. Loading those keys onto phones has been a cumbersome process so far, but a pilot group of 500 users is now testing a relatively painless system that delivers those keys wirelessly. DISA expects to expand that program this summer, starting with the tokens that let users access and sign their emails, then adding on the ability to access websites that require common access cards. But Rice says the managed service needs to start planning now for mobile authentication methods that go far beyond DoD's current PKI system.
What we should be looking at from an objective state is PKI and CAC is probably not where we should be going with for mobility. Okay, how do we take advantage of biometrics? How do we take advantage of some of the new chips that are coming out? How do we get that into a device that we can hand out to a soldier and know that that's going to be much more secure than anything we've done to date? Okay, and so part of the point here is it's not only a challenge for meeting the immediate need, it's also a challenge for taking enough resources and time to build that into our plan as we move forward so that 5 years from now we're not having the same discussion where I say, okay, we have over the air credentials, however, we're now 3 years behind trying to get biometrics into place. Okay, so we need that help to try to figure out what are the stages that we need to be going through.
And if DoD wants its users to do much more with their smartphones other than accessing websites, making phone calls, and sending emails, it needs to find a much more efficient but still secure way of vetting mobile apps. The department has been cautious about approving many apps for government devices up until this point. Those security procedures are rigorous, but they're manual, and they don't include any way to monitor apps for malicious behavior after they've been installed on a smartphone.
Our biggest challenge is not the fact that there's a threat out there, it's the way that the department addresses it. We look at static versus dynamic. Okay, so we do a lot of due diligence to make sure that whatever is as it's going into the field, we make sure that it's secure. Okay, we don't spend any time looking at what happens, for example, in an app. What happens after that app's been out there for a certain period of time and whatever's been embedded in it comes awake? We don't have any tools out there that's doing that type of monitoring on a regular basis. We know that that's where the next threat is going to be. Okay, so that's a challenge that we need to start anticipating.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.
Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.